He really is out of it. I don't know what. Yeah, he called me last night and was like, "Hey, I'm still running a temperature." I was like, "You know, I've been praying for you all week, Pastor. You know, that this temperature breaks." And he calls me last night. He's like, "You know, this temperature's not breaking. So, guess what? You're preaching." You know, and I'm like, "All right." So, spent 5 minutes on this sermon. So hopefully it goes good. No, I'm joking. but you know, we should always be ready. And when he called me last night and said, "Hey, you got the mic tomorrow morning," I was like, "Okay, I got it." Because, you know, I thought of Allen Iverson. You guys heard when he's like, "Practice? You talking about practice? What are you talking about practice?" Well, I practice. You know, I spend every morning, I wake up, I spend an hour in the Word. I go over, I write sermons, I write Bible studies, I do all this stuff for myself so that when the game time comes, when Pastor says, "Hey, you got the mic tomorrow morning," I'm just like, "All right, I'm throwing the fire. I'm not going to suffer because I set it up already." You know, a lot of people say, you know, "Oh, when it comes time to it, when it's game time, when it's fourth quarter, that's when I'm going to rise up." That's not when you rise up. That's when you fall back to your old ways. You know, when the pressure's on, when he's really pushing in on you, that's when you go back to how you always go. So, like I said, you know, we're just going to go ahead, jump in the Word. I might not be ready, like I said this morning to the choir, I might not be ready, but the Holy Spirit is always ready. Amen. And you guys didn't come to see a man speak, you came to come to see the man speak, right? Amen. So we're going to continue our series. We're in a three-part series on why we're here. Why are we here as a church? And not just why we're here, but where are we going? So what are we doing to help propel us into the future and propel the next generation into the future? So if you want to open your Bibles to Psalms 145, Psalms 145 verse 4 says, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." So the title of this sermon today is "For the Next Generation." Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for, again, this opportunity for us to come together and gather in your name to worship you, to lift you up. Lord God, I pray that you open up our hearts, our minds, our eyes, Lord God, so we can hear you, know you, and just see you more clear, Lord God. And again, I just thank you for the opportunity to share your word. Lord, empty me out, take me out of this situation, and fill me up with your spirit, Lord God. So let me speak the words that you want me to speak this morning, Lord God. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, so why are we here? What is our purpose here at Generation Church? Do you guys remember what our statement, our mission statement is?
Yep. Yes.
Let me hear you. You guys, I was hoping you would put it up. Let's say it again. Let's say it again. It's up on the board, guys. Come on. Growing the family of God. That's right. We're about growing not just this generation, not just us right here, right now, but we're more focused on growing the generation that's back there in that kids' wing. We want to make sure that we're laying the foundation for them that, you know, that they're not going to fall off, that they have something that they can stand firm on. Amen. So we exist here so that you guys can grow spiritually. We're all about growth. Tell your neighbor, grow up. Amen. That's all we're about. You know, and last week we talked about family, right? We talked about family. We're all a family of God. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And we got some good news and bad news about that. The good news is, you know, we're brothers, we're sisters. We love each other. The bad news is your brothers, your sisters, and we have to love each other, right? I was thinking about that last week. I was like, yeah, this is like I have a huge, huge family. And you would never, just how we're multicultural, multicolored, multi-everything, if you would look at my family tree looks just like this congregation right here this morning. And, you know, I was like, man, you know, I got a crazy aunt, and I got a crazy aunt Thetis here, you know. I got a crazy uncle, Mike is here, you know, my grandma and grandpa, Mr. Otis and Miss Irma. I'm like, man, this is just like my family. Oh, everyone's here, you know. Like, this is awesome. I love coming here. I love this. And that's how we should look at it. We should look at it as a family. We should look at it as, yeah, we might not get along. We might not see it eye to eye, but we're family, and we're called to love each other. God is our Father, and we need to love and look out for each other. Amen. So Galatians 6:10 says, therefore we have an opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Yes. Amen. So again, our inward spirituality is shown through our love for each other. It's shown through how much we love each other. It's shown through how much we care about each other. First John 4:7-8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So, again, if you're showing love, if you're showing compassion, that's the fruit, that's the evidence of God living inside of you. Amen? So he calls us to love, and not just love ourselves, but to love one another. Amen? So let's look at our mission statement one more time. Growing the family of God from one generation to the next. That's what it's about. Like I said, raising up that next generation. You know, I truly believe, I hope all of you believe too, that Jesus is coming back. And he can come back at any time. He can come back right now. But that doesn't mean that we need to just live for him to come back right now. You know, we need to make sure that we are raising up people to take that mantle. We need to make sure that we have things in place for the next person to come up and run. Just like a track team, when they're running down the track, when they hand that baton off, you know, that's what it's about. We hand it to that next generation. And it's not they don't stop and take the baton and then start walking. They're already sprinting. You know, and that person comes up and they sprint behind them, they hand that baton off, and then they fall back and that person is already gone, kicking dust up, right? Amen? Because our God is a generational God. He is the God of Abraham. He is the God of Isaac. He is the God of Jacob. He is the God of you and I today, this morning, right now. He is the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He will never stop. You know, he started and he hasn't stopped and he won't stop. Can't stop, won't stop. Amen? And that's what we're about here. I want you, Gabe, can you pull up the logo, Generation Church logo? I want you guys to look at that. You know, we see here Generation Church, and we got two leaves here, right? Big leaf and a little leaf. It's representing the ages. We got the old as big leaf. We got the young as a little leaf. And if you look at it, what are those leaves growing out of?
The cross.
The cross. Yeah, it's not a T. It's the cross. Our foundation is the cross. Our foundation is Jesus Christ. So we're growing the young, the old. We're growing this generation. We're growing next generation out of the foundation of the cross. Because that's what it's all about. We have to have that foundation. Because, yeah, we can say growing from this generation to the next. But if we have nothing that we're growing out of, what's the point? If we have nothing to seek for, to nothing to search for, there's no point. Because we don't have a vision, we don't have a destination, we don't have a journey of what we're trying to accomplish. So that's why it's important. That's why we have the big leaf, the little leaf, growing up out of the cross of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You know, like I said, he's a generational God. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in the kingdom of God, is only one generation. He said, I'm going to raise up this generation. This generation will not pass away until I come back.
Amen.
So you are part of the generation of Jesus. When he says, I will not come back until this generation, you know, he's talking about us right now. Amen. He's talking about them, his disciples back then. He's talking about us right now. There are no grandchildren. There are no stepchildren. There are no people left on the outside. You know, rather, if you're saved or you're not saved, you are a child of God. He looks at you the same. He looks at every single person the same. And that's why he says, this is our generation.
Amen.
This right now. But we do have to set up that foundation for the next group coming. Again, Psalm 145, verse 4. This is our church. If you guys don't know, this is our church's verse. That's why we keep repeating it. That's why we keep saying it. Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty act. So that is God's proven system. Our faith is built on the fact that we need to not only entrust it into ourselves, but pass it on to the next generation. You know, last night, or this week, I'm taking a class right now, and with the rabbi and the students, the way that they did it back in the Old Testament days, it was they memorized. They memorized the scripture. By the time they were like 5 years old, they pretty much had the Torah memorized. You know, like how many of you have one book of the Bible memorized? I'm not going to raise my hand because I don't. But they were children. And when they come to the rabbi, just like with Jesus, they called him rabbi. It's not just memorizing the verses or memorizing the books of the Bible. It's about memorizing or copying or repurposing the rabbi. It's not just about coming here and worshiping and praying, but it was about copying that person's life. And that's what we should be doing. We need to photocopy Jesus onto our lives. We should be expressing, we should be pouring out Jesus out of our lives. That's why it was important for them, like they didn't have Bibles. You know how blessed we are today that we have a computer in our pocket that we can look up any Bible verse anytime, anywhere, anything that we need. We don't understand it, we can look it up and get the definition of the words. They didn't have that. Not every place had a Bible. But we have all this information, which is kind of a problem to me. Like, we have all this information, we have all this easy access, but yet we don't study it.
Amen.
We don't use it. I said it before, you know, we all have a smartphone, we all have the Bible on our phone, but that is so much of a distraction. It is a distraction for me, because it's so easy just to turn off that app and to move away. But when we're truly pursuing Him, we're truly diving into Him, we're going to memorize, we're going to copy, and we're going to continue to reflect Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
But this generation that's coming up now, it's big time walking away from the church. They're tired of religion. They're tired of hypocrisy. And that's actually a good thing.
It is. Amen.
That's actually a good thing. It's not a problem. It's an opportunity.
Amen.
Amen. This generation is looking for something real.
Yes.
This generation is looking for something to hold on to grasp onto.
Yes.
This generation is looking to have an encounter with the one true God.
Yes.
And you know what God's plan is to make that encounter happen?
Uh-huh.
You and me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good,
every single one of us in this building is God's plan. Let me hear you say, I'm the plan.
I'm the plan.
There's no plan B.
Amen.
I can tell you right now, you are plan A.
Yes.
So you need to get into the Word. You need to have a faith that outshines everything else.
That's why.
You need to give this next generation something to hold on to.
Amen.
So you need to first get right,
amen,
and then help them get right.
Amen.
Amen. Can you say get right?
Get right.
And help them get right. Amen. That's God's plan. He's going to use every single one of us. Turn to Matthew 7, 3 through 5 says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your own eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So, this verse, you know, you hear a lot of people say, don't judge me, you can't judge me, only God can judge me, right? And they point to this verse a lot of times. They say, you know, how dare you talk to me and without, you know, you got that plank in your eye, and you want to come to me and talk about this little problem that I have in my eye? Who are you to judge me? You know, but I think it's important here, like, he's not saying don't call that out on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Don't call out somebody stumbling, don't call out somebody's sin. But he's saying deal with your own first.
That's right.
Yes.
Deal with your own first. Get yourself right first. And then you can go to that person and say, hey man, I don't think you're living that. I don't think you're living right.
Amen.
You know, I understand that we're all on this process, that we're all growing, we're all struggling, we're all doing the same thing. But look, I've came through that. You know, I'm working on myself. And now I want to help you work on yourself and get better.
Yeah.
Amen. So don't take correction as something, as a slap on the hand, a slap on the wrist, a punishment. Don't take that from somebody who's trying to help you out. Don't look at somebody and say, how dare you? How dare you come and talk to me like that? Because when someone truly loves you, when someone's truly seeking God, when someone wants to elevate you to the next level, they're not looking at that speck in your eye and saying that you're a terrible person.
Amen.
They're not looking at that speck in your eye and saying that you're worse, that I'm better than you, you're lower than me. That's not what they're saying. They're saying, you know what? I want to get myself better. I want to get you better. We need to get each other better. So I see that problem in your life. I'm going to help lift you up, and I'm going to help carry you, just like you're going to help carry me along on this journey. Amen? Amen. The Apostle Paul, he exemplified this in every single thing that he did. I love the Apostle Paul. I've been doing a lot of studying on him the past couple of weeks, and he has the same pattern. The same pattern of going into places, living with them. When he went to a place, he modeled the lifestyle that he wanted them to model. You know, he wasn't just about talking the talk. He was about walking that walk. He was so effective with the Thessalonians, with the church of Thessalonians, even when they're, like I read this morning, even when they're facing persecution, even when they are struggling, when they're hurting, when they couldn't worship freely like everyone else in that time could, you know, he still went in there. He still lifted them up. He's still like, you know what? I know this is happening, guys, but we gotta surf through this. Look at all the beatings I've taken. Look at all the shipwrecks. Look at everything that I went through to get here. You know what? I did it. You guys can do it too. Come on, let's go. Let's get up. I understand it's hard. I understand it's rough, but we can get through it together. And that's the type of faith that we need to model. The faith that Paul showed us. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 2 through 10 says, "Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know. And God is our witness that we were not pretending to be your friend just to get your money. As for human praise, we have never sought it from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you. But instead, we were like children among you, or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We love you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? The nights and the days we toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preach God's good news to you. You yourselves are witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faithful towards your for all of your believers." Paul's reminding them when he was there, he shared, he lived the gospel, he demonstrated how his life has changed because of the gospel. It's not only about leading others to Christ. It's not just about saving this next generation. It's about changing your own life. It's about saving yourself. It's about building yourself up and giving them, again, something to stand on. Because words are nothing. Words are cheap. You know, talk is cheap. It's about living. It's about walking. It's about that faithful service to Christ. You got to remember, and I love the saying, you're the only Bible that most people are going to read. And if they're reading, oh, yeah, they're cussing. They're doing this. They're in the bars. They're living this wild life. Oh, okay, that's what Christianity is all about. I can do that. That's what I'm doing right now. All I got to do is go to church on Sunday.
Right.
You know, it's about that walk. Because that's going to prove way more than what you say.
Yes.
And when they look at you, they should say, what is wrong with you? Why are you so different? Mm-hmm. Why do you stand out?
Amen.
Why do you smile when you just found out you had cancer?
Right. Amen.
How do you smile when this person is yelling at you? How do you smile when you just got fired from your job? Mm-hmm. That's the type of Christian that you need to be.
Amen.
You need to be that book that when they read you, they say, "What? I need some of that. Whatever that person has, I need to get some of that." Mm-hmm. Because that's the type of Christianity that we need to give to that next generation.
That's right.
Us in this room, we need to model that for those kids and the kids we right now.
Amen.
We need to model that for the people around us. I love the older generation. I love the over 60 crowd. Because especially the over 60 crowd that's been married for 50, 60, 70 years. Mm-hmm. I love that because that gives me hope.
Right.
You know, when me and my wife are struggling, when we're arguing, I can say, man, you know that couple, they've been married for 40 years.
That's right.
They did it.
Amen.
Man, that couple's been married 60 years. They did it.
They did.
Why can't we do it?
Amen.
You know, and that gives me hope. And that's how we should be looking at our each other's faith.
Yep.
We say, man, look what they went through. Look what they did. Look what happened to them. If they made it through, I can make it through. Let me go find out why they made it through. Let me go seek them out. Let me figure it out. That's that generation growing that next generation.
Man.
That's what we're about here. That's the main mission. One generation to the next, right? So let your light, let your testimony be that seed of growth in that next generation behind you. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. You know that our God, you know, he talks like he's a father. He always says he's a father. He's our father. He's a father to the fatherless. This is something that I struggled with growing up. I didn't have a father. It was just my mom and my two sisters. So it took me a long time to really figure out he's our father.
Amen.
You know, it's something that I struggle with. And it wasn't until I actually had kids to where when they say that unconditional love, that fatherly love, you know, no matter what that kid does, no matter how bad they make you angry, that you can say, you know what, it's okay, I still love you.
Amen.
You know, I didn't understand that until I had kids. And we're growing up, or these kids are growing up right now, in a fatherless generation.
Amen.
You know, many of you in this room right now grew up without a father. You know, many of us here today don't know what that love is like on this earth, to have that fatherly love. And you know, there's 24 million children in this nation that will go to sleep tonight without a father and a mom.
Wow.
24 million. 24 million children without a father in their home. You know that kids without a father are 4 times more likely to grow up in poverty? There's a research survey that went out, and it said children who grew up without a father figure are twice as likely to commit suicide. 72% of adolescent murders and 70% of all long-term prison inmates grew up without a father. This is a fatherless generation. And young people today are facing that epidemic of having a fatherless generation. But you know what? There's hope. There's hope for you in this room today. There's hope for those kids in the kids' wing. There's hope for those kids across America. There's hope. Because we have a father who loves us.
Yeah.
And you know, you might, like me, you might not understand that. They might not understand that, but what did I say before? What are we? We're family.
Yes.
You need to be men. That's why it's important for you to be in the church. That's why it's important for you to be a part of the family of God and a part of your family. Because they might not have a real father, but you could be that father figure. You could be that man that steps into the lives, that picks them up, that builds them up, that tells them, hey, you are great, you are blessed, you are loved, I'm here for you, what do you need? You know, be that godly example into this fatherless generation's life. We all, men, ladies too, but men, it's important that you stay, that you stick around, that you bless this next generation. And I love this church, because this church, like you go to most churches, and it's filled with ladies. And there'll be a couple guys sprinkled in.
Man.
But here, we're pretty much 50-50. You know, we have strong men in this church. Yeah, come on, give it up, guys. Come on. Give it up for the men in the church. But you not only need to be a father to your family, you need to be a father to everyone around you.
Man.
And that's me included. You know, someone in here is a father figure to me. I'm going to be a father figure to somebody in here. And we need to be the father figure in our neighborhoods. We need to be father figures at our jobs. We need to be a father figure in everything that we do. Because, like I said, if they never had that father, that person, that man, to build them up, like, you don't understand how important, I didn't understand it until I had a daughter, how important it is that love that a girl looks for her father. I did not understand that until I had a daughter. And now I can say, you know what? I see how important that is in my own family. Now I need to put that out into everyone who I come across. In my entire life, amen? So how does a father take care of his children? You know, how does a father take care of his children? A father takes care of his children by doing whatever it takes. Doing whatever it takes to make sure that those kids are taken care of, amen? You know, We should think more about the next generation than we think about ourselves.
Amen.
We have to be willing to give up whatever it takes, whatever it costs, to reach this next generation. Amen.
Amen.
And men especially, we have to be willing to pay the ultimate price to raise our families, to bring up this next generation and God together. The church will never see revival until we learn to love our children more than we love our traditions.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There will be times that we must sacrifice our time, our talents, our abilities to reach this lost generation. Now, 1 Thessalonians 2:11 through 12 says, "As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." We have three things in that verse: exalting, comforting, and charging.
That's right.
He calls every single one of us to exalt, to comfort, and charge. What is exalting? It's to motivate. It's to propel. It's to push out. It's to lift up.
Amen.
What is comforting? To be there. To love on them. To show them that you care.
Yes.
And what is charging? Charging is leaving someone else in charge. Charging is giving somebody... I like this saying, and thank you, Pastor Josh, for that. I love it. Charging is giving someone the keys to the car that you paid for.
Amen.
Amen.
And saying, here, take it and drive it.
Yeah.
That's what charging is. Charging is laying the foundation for them to build the church on.
Yeah.
And that's our job. Our job is to lay that foundation, that strong foundation, for them to then say, it's yours, take it. And not worry about it. If you wreck it, you wreck it. Hey, if something happens, something happens. But we set you up in such a way that we never have to worry about you failing. Because
that's
we
right.
know even if you do stumble, you're stumbling forward.
Amen.
You're not falling backwards.
Amen.
Amen. When you do fail, you're failing forward. You know, and you're going to get up and you're going to keep running because we laid that foundation. We let you know how to run this race and how to run it properly. And when you do reach those roadblocks, you know that they're coming because we already told you about it. Amen.
That's right.
That's what being a father to the fatherless generation is about.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. That's what it's about, charging, comforting, and exhorting this next generation up.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
I'm convinced that we've got to make more room for this generation.
Amen.
You know, we have to stop telling our kids, we got to stop telling our youth, we got to stop telling our young people that they're too young. We gotta tell them you haven't lived long enough. You don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
You know that we can't keep doing that to this young generation. We can't keep stifling this next generation. We have to, and especially as parents, I know it's hard to say, you know what, go out and run. Go ahead, I trust you. But we have to at some point let those reins go. We have to at some point say, you know what, I've built you up. I've gave you what you need to know. I've given you the keys. And I've trusted you, I've trained you, I've built you, and now I have to let go. And I'm not saying just kick them out and out of the nest and let them fly, but we have to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to let you fly, I'm going to let you fall, and I'm going to pick you back up, and I'm going to let you fly, I'm going to let you fall, and I'm going to pick you back up, amen? So we need to stop telling this generation, these kids, that they can't do anything, that they're not going to amount to anything. If you don't understand the hurt that puts on a kid.
That's
I got told that I was dumb my whole life. Like, and, you know, I believed it. I still believe it to this day. I think that I can't go to school, that I can't get A's on anything because I'm dumb, because I can't read. And it shows, like, I mean, you see me stumbling up here every Sunday when I'm reading the Bible verses. But those words that were spoken into me, that you can't read. You know, you can't do that. There's no way that you can speak in front of people. And like I said, those words stick. Those that you put into people, it sticks. When you tell your kid that you're dumb, like that's not just a word that you threw out there. That's something that they're going to believe, especially if it's coming from their parent. When you tell that next generation that they can't do something, they're going to continue to remember that. Every single day, it stays with them. And I'm testimony to that. But our Heavenly Father can remove all of that. We have to believe that. You know, like I said, I'm going to talk about myself because that's the best person that I have to talk about. I struggle, okay? I have to write a paper this week. And I know a four to seven page paper, and I'm freaking out. You know, I know some of you are like, 4 to 7 pages, come on. I know Lacey, that's what she says all the time because she's like an English genius. But, you know, because I'll spend 3 weeks trying to write one double space paper, you know? Because I'm not, like I said, it's not my strong point. But when I put it, thank you. But when I put in that work, when I trust God, when I say, you know what, God, I can't do this on my own. Amen. I can't. I need your help because I'm not good at school. I struggle with this, God. I need you. I need you to help me. And you know what? When I actually do that, when I put my trust, my faith, and complete everything into Him, amen, I have no problem. That 3 weeks you spent, 3 days. You know, always, if I get a C in a class, I rejoice. I know, so, like, I'm happy. You know, but I'm getting A's and I'm getting B's, and I'm like, how am I doing this? How am I getting A's and how am I getting B's in a class when I'm not smart, when I don't like school, when I'm struggling? How am I doing this? It's because it's not under my might. It's not under my will. It's under God's will. And I'm doing what He's called me to do, and even though people tell me that you're in the military, what are you doing being a pastor? You can't do that. It looks bad on your performance report. You're going to school to be a pastor. I said, I don't care. I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for God. And I say it all the time. If the military kicked me out today, I'll be all right. Yep. Pastor Josh will give me a job. Like I said, you know, I don't care. I know what I'm supposed to do. I got a calling on my life, and all of you have a calling on your life. Like I said, and that calling is not just me, it's not just Pastor Josh, it's not Rick's job now. It's not the pastor's job to raise up this next generation.
Amen.
Every single one of us is charged,
amen,
to raise up this next generation. Amen.
Yes.
So I'm gonna give you some more stats. 2 out of 10 Christians accept Christ over the age of 20. 2 out of 10 Christians accept Christ over the age of 20. 7 out of 10 accept Christ before the age of 15. These numbers alone should make everyone want to jump into the kids' wing.
Yeah.
These numbers alone should make every person seek out those kids in their neighborhood and tell them about Christ.
Right.
7 out of 10 before the age of 15. If we can reach them when they're young, we can set them up for success their entire life.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important not to speak down onto this next generation.
Right. Yeah.
That is why it's so important to exalt them, to charge them, to bless them, to set them out. We have to set them up. Because if we can get them before they're 15, we can keep them for a lifetime.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our God is good. We can't continue to give our kids the leftovers. We can't continue to give our kids the secondary treatment. We have to give them the first class in everything.
Amen.
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 Man. All right, I'm closing up now, guys. The worship team want to come forward. We have to have a heart for the next generation.
Yes.
Amen.
God loves you. He loves you so much, it's so hard to understand. He loves you unconditionally. And this is for every generation. The young in this room, the old in this room, it doesn't matter. He loves you completely. He knows every single thing about you. But yet, He still loves you. He cared enough for you. Like I said, He loves this world so much that He gave His only Son. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way of salvation, and there's no other way. No other way around it. We have to be willing to step out. We have to be willing to step up and spread this word across every single generation. Romans gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. This morning, I'm going to give everyone an opportunity. You may be thinking, I've never taken that step. I've never given my life over to Christ. I've never made that declaration that I'm a child of God. You know, even if you haven't made that declaration, you are still a child of God. Even if you don't believe in who our God is, you are still His child. And He is still seeking you, He is still wanting you, He is still loving you. And even when you don't have that fatherly love in your life, even when you don't have anybody that you can run to, that you can look up to, even if you don't have anybody that will reach their hand out and grab you and pick you up, our Father in heaven will. And I'm not just saying that. I'm not just speaking words. I'm speaking truth. Because I've been there. I had no one I could reach out to, and I reached out to God, and He picked me up. We need to be the father. We need to be the mother. We need to be the cousin, the aunt, the sister, the brother to every single generation. Don't leave anybody behind. Old, don't leave us young folks here to weather the storm by ourselves. Us young folks in here, don't leave those kids out there to fend for themselves. We can't do that. We have to be able to step up and step out on faith. Amen. If you guys don't mind standing up. Like I said, maybe you haven't surrendered your life to Christ. I'm going to give you a chance right now to do that. If you guys don't mind just saying a prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for living the life I could never live and dying the death that I was supposed to die. Thank you for taking my place. And my response to you is to surrender. All of me for all of you. From this moment on, I am yours. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean. Make me new from this moment on. I trust you. I love you. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, we want to welcome you to the life of Christ. We want to welcome you to the family of Christ. And you know what? Now you're charged. These are our youth. These are our kids.